continue our worship with the reading of the scriptures. Today, this passage is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to 18. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God." First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he is set down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins are lawful, and lawful acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Our sermon today is from our own Pastor Sam. The message is, one sacrifice to fix it all.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that we can gather together, a handful here in the sanctuary, most online, virtually, but gather together to worship you because you alone are worthy. So Lord, may our praises, may our thoughts, may our actions all be pleasing and glorifying to you. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, that the words that I speak would not be my words, but would be your words and would bring glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel bad for the Karens of the world. I'm talking about those people who actually have the name Karen. For all that, those other people who have been doing silly things, they keep being dubbed as Karens. Those women laying on the floor in Costco refusing to leave because they're not wearing a mask. The latest one I heard, maybe the most ridiculous one, is some lady who bought a coffee, took it home, didn't drink it till the next morning, and then took it back complaining that it was cold, and she wanted a hot one. And because of these actions, the Karens of the world, those who actually have the name Karen, are being put in a hard spot. Their name is no longer their name. Their name is now a derogatory slang for every middle-aged or usually middle-aged woman who does something foolish, who does something selfish. And I feel bad for the Karens of the world. And it got me wondering why all of a sudden there are so many Karens. I had no idea that the term Karen was a derogatory slang for my entire life until about 3 weeks ago. And I started wondering why all of a sudden people are acting so much worse, why people are acting the way they're acting. And I start wondering, is it because of COVID-19? Is the illness getting to their brains and affecting them? Is it because of quarantine? We've been locked up inside for so long, people are going stir crazy and they don't know how to interact with people. Is it something else? But the more I think about it, the more I'm convinced it's that people are just self-centered. And it's not that we have become more self-centered because of COVID or because of quarantine. I think we've always been self-centered. It's just now with the internet and now with social media, we see all the evidences of these people, the foolish things that people do, the childish ways that we act. They're all now videotaped and documented and put online for everyone to see. People have always been self-centered. It's not a new thing. It goes back all the way to Adam and Eve. It's been happening since the beginning. God told Adam and Eve, commanded them a bunch of things to do. And the one thing he commanded them not to do was eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yet, Adam and Eve, being self-centered, wanting to know good and evil, went and ate from the tree. Being self-centered is not new. Being self-centered I don't think it's gone up because of COVID or quarantine or anything else. It's been there from the very beginning. And because it's been there from the very beginning, God, in his graciousness, did something to counteract it. And that's what the law of Moses is. The law of Moses is supposed to be boundaries, guidelines for the Israelites' relationship with God. But I think a lot of times people look at the law of Moses and see a list of things that we're supposed to do and things that we're not supposed to do. And we see it as God trying to ruin our fun by saying we can't do these things that are pleasurable. I wonder, as an Asian who grew up in an Asian church, if we're projecting what our parents did to us onto God. If we're projecting parents who told us, you can't do this, you can't do this, you have to do this, and then we're turning around and projecting it onto God and saying that this is what the law of Moses is, that we can't do this, we can't do that. But I think that view too is a very selfish, self-centered view. It's about us. It's not about God, but it's about us from that perspective. It's about, why do I have to do these things? Why can I not enjoy myself? When in reality, this is all about God. This is all about how God is so gracious that in spite of Adam and Eve's failures, in spite of the failures of humanity, God still reached out to humanity with the law of Moses to try to improve our relationship with him. For those who joined us for worship last week, I hope this sounds familiar because I said the same thing last week. But I think we see the law of Moses like this because we don't understand it. And we look at it from a very self-centered point of view. It's about us. Why do I have to do this? Why am I restricted from doing what I want? When in reality, the law of Moses is all about God. A God who is so loving and gracious that he would come up with some way that we could draw close to him. It's not meant to be a rule book of do's and don'ts. It's meant to be a guideline for the Israelites to have the best relationship they could with the living God. And it was given by God to the Israelites because of their sin, so that in spite of their sinfulness, they could still approach God. All of this, the result of Adam and Eve's sin. And because of their sin and our sin, because of that, the law, the sacrifices, the offerings were needed. They were temporarily needed until a better solution, but they were temporarily needed. That's why Hebrews 10:1 says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. The law was never meant to be the actual way to the Lord. The law was never meant to be the way we get to God. It was merely a temporary measure. It was a temporary measure put in place until the real measure came to be. That's why the second half of verse 1 says, For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. It's not good enough to fix things once and for all. No sacrifice is good enough to fix things once and for all. No offering, nothing we do is good enough to fix it. That's why verse 4 says, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. No matter how many bulls, no matter how many goats, no matter how many animals were sacrificed, their blood was never enough to take away sin. That's because sacrifices were never what God wanted. The sacrifices were not what God wanted from us. The sacrifices were what we needed to do, what the Israelites needed to do in order to draw a little bit closer to God. Yet still, the Israelites in their selfishness, in their self-centered ways, complained. The Israelites should have been grateful that in spite of their sin, in spite of the sins of their ancestors, in spite of the sin of Adam and Eve, instead of God just rejecting them and casting them aside, they should have been grateful that God made up a way through the law of Moses for the Israelites to draw closer to him. But instead of thinking, wow, what an awesome God who made up this way for us, they complained about all the sacrifices that they had to make. They complained about the rules that they had to keep, about the laws they had to obey. And they complained, and they complained. They're so self-centered in their ways, they didn't appreciate what God had done, but instead complained about the work that they had to do. But all of this was never God's original plan. This was never the way it was supposed to be. Verses 5 and 6 say, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. This is the psalmist writing that the writer of Hebrews is quoting. And he's saying, the sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, you being God, did not desire sacrifices or offerings from us. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. This is not what God wanted. This is what God instituted because what he originally wanted was messed up by Adam and Eve. God never wanted our sacrifices or offerings. God never desired them. God was never pleased with the burnt offerings or the sin offerings because that's not what God wanted. What God wanted was relationship. Relationship with us. Relationship with Adam and Eve that came about as a result of obedience. God commanded Adam and Eve to take care of the animals and the creatures that God had created and commanded them that they could eat from any tree in the garden except the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God wanted relationship which came about when they obeyed him and followed him. God didn't want the sacrifices. God didn't want offerings to be part of this relationship or a stipulation in the relationship with him. God wanted us in the garden walking and talking with him like Adam and Eve did before the fall. But Adam and Eve's disobedience ruined that all. Their desire to know good and evil, their lack of trust in God led to their disobedience. And because of their disobedience and sin, sacrifices and offerings became a temporarily necessary means for the Israelites to have any sort of relationship with the living God. You see, God could have turned his back on the Israelites. For all the times they screwed up, God could have turned his back on them and left them. But instead, he instituted the law of Moses as a means for them to draw close to him. All because God's original plan was ruined by Adam and Eve. Had Adam and Eve obeyed, which is what God wanted in the first place, a little bit of trust and obedience in him, had they eaten from any other tree in the garden of knowledge of, or any other tree in the garden other than the tree of knowledge of good and evil, our relationship with God wouldn't have been broken then. And assuming people continued to obey and keep a relationship with God, there would never have been a need for sacrifices and offerings. But because of sin, first Adam and Eve's sin, and then the sins of everyone else, us included, because that sin drives a wedge between God and us, The sacrifices and offerings were a temporary means by which we could draw near to God. You see, the law of Moses wasn't to ruin our fun. It wasn't to make life difficult or miserable. It was temporary measure to allow the Israelites to have some sort of relationship with the living God, until the one sacrifice that would fix it all would come. Until Jesus, God in the flesh, came and endured the shame and the pain of the cross. Until that point, the offerings and the sacrifices from the law of Moses is what they would have to do to draw close to God. See, when you see the law of Moses from that perspective, it looks very different. It's not a petty God who wants us to not have fun. It's a loving God who wants us to be in relationship with Him. And at that point, it was through the blood of animals, through the blood of bulls and goats. But ultimately, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ, His only Son. God wanted relationship with the Israelites so much that until the Son could come and be the ultimate sacrifice, God set up the law of Moses for them to help the Israelites draw near to Him. He didn't have to, but out of love for them, He did. As I was preparing this, I was thinking, and it reminded me when I was out here studying. I moved out here, and my parents aren't rich. I'm not rich. I had to pay for school and living expenses. And at one point, I was working 3 part-time jobs and studying at the same time so that I could pay for schooling. And I remember I didn't have the money to fly back to Ontario to see my family. And I know that my parents didn't have a lot of money either, but they knew I wanted to come home and visit. And I like to think that they wanted to see me too. Maybe, maybe not, but I like to think that. So they sent me money so I could fly home and have a few weeks with them. It was back then, flights to Ontario were only a few $100, so it was much cheaper. But it was still, for me at that time, a lot of money. And it wasn't like I was moving back home. It was just a few weeks to be home, to see my parents, to see my family. I had made the decision to move away. I had made the decision to move out to Vancouver for schooling. Yet being their son, they wanted to keep the relationship with me going and alive and strong. And so they found a way to keep that relationship going. And that was to pay for me to get back home. And that is what the Father does. He loves us so much, He gave His only Son. When Jesus came, it took out the entire law of Moses. It finished that. When Jesus came, it turned it upside down on its head. That's why verses 11 and 12 says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus came. His life, His blood shed on the cross was the ultimate sacrifice. And after He did it, He goes and sits down at the right hand of God. See, the Jewish priests had to offer sacrifices and offerings over and over and over and over again, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So the priests would have to go sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice for every single person and for every time they screwed up. He would have to make sacrifices. But the blood of Jesus is more than enough to wash over every sin. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because of the blood of Christ, we no longer need to go and make sacrifices at the temple every week. We no longer need to go and make sacrifices and bring animals to be slaughtered. Fortunately, I don't have to do the slaughtering. The blood of Christ is more than enough to make us holy. And that's why verse 10 says, And by that, we will have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We will be made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. His blood shed for us. His blood shed for you and me. Once for all. His sacrifice was more than enough to restore our relationship with the living God. But I think the relationship that the blood of Christ restored is different from what most Christians today think or expect it to be. I don't think our relationship with God is just about us getting into heaven. And it definitely isn't about making life right now comfortable. I believe what Christ came and did for us is so that we can enjoy and have a deeper relationship now with God that will be even deeper and even better once we get to heaven. And that's why I think what Jesus came and did isn't about just getting us into heaven. It isn't about making our life comfortable and easy. It's about now that Christ has done the work for us, it's about us now obeying and following Jesus, even when things are tough. It's about us now knowing that he is with us through everything, that even in the midst of COVID, in the midst of all the changes that have gone on over the last few months, it's knowing that we are not alone. That doesn't mean everything is easy and everything is fine and there's no hardships or problems. It means in the midst of those hardships and problems, we know that Christ is with us. We know that Christ died on the cross and was resurrected so that our relationship with the living God could be restored to the way it was supposed to be. And I think that restoration means a call to obedience for us. That's why verse 7 says, "Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. I have come to do your will, my God." I think Jesus restoring our relationship with the Heavenly Father isn't about getting into heaven alone. It isn't about making life easy, but it's about us now doing the will of God, who sent his only Son to die for us. It means now that we have been cleansed of our sins, now that we have been made new creations, and that our relationship with the living God has been restored, we are to follow and obey. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did in going to the cross. He obeyed. He knew it would be tough. He knew that it would be painful. And there was even a part of him that didn't want to do it. That's why in Matthew 26:39, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, it says, "And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.'" Jesus knew that obedience wasn't going to be easy. Jesus knew that obedience would be painful. It would involve suffering. Yet he was willing to obey. He knew he needed to obey in order to restore creation's relationship with the Heavenly Father. And he was willing to do it. He was willing to suffer. He knew that's what it would take. But he knew that's what it would involve to have the relationship that he has with the Father. To obey in spite of the pain. To obey in spite of the hurt and the loss and the suffering. And I think that's what Christ restoring our relationship with the Father means for us. We are called to obey. We are called to obey. And I think that obedience means, it doesn't mean following every law in the book, every law in the law of Moses. I think that obedience means loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. But it also means loving our neighbor as ourselves. I think that's what Christ came to do, to restore our relationship with the Father so that we would love him with all that we have. And in turn, as we love God with all that we have, that love would extend to our neighbors and to our enemies. You've heard me say this many times before, especially during COVID. I think now is a perfect time for us to work on our relationship with God. We keep saying we have so much time because we're at home, we can't do anything, we can't go out. I think now is the perfect time to work on our relationship with God. Spend time reading his word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in spiritual disciplines. And see if that doesn't draw us closer to God. See if that doesn't make us love God more and more, to hunger for Him more and more. Like any relationship, it involves work. It involves time. Our relationship with God isn't going to get better because we come to church on Sundays or we join online service once a week. Our relationship with God is going to get better because we are putting time and effort into it every single day. Our relationship with God is going to get better because we make it a priority over other things. But when we let it slide and when we make it secondary or fifth or seventh or tenth on our list of things, our relationship with God is going to suffer. That's why I think now is the best time to start going deeper with God. And I think as we go deeper with God, it doesn't just improve our relationship with God. I think it improves our relationship with all of our neighbors. Because as we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, we start to see how God sees us. We start to understand how much God loves us. And it's only when we understand how much God loves us that we can start to love our neighbors as ourselves. Because if we don't love ourselves, how are we going to love our neighbors as ourselves? If we're not happy with the way we are, how are we going to go out and love our neighbors? We're not happy with ourselves, how can we be happy with them? We don't like ourselves, how can we like them? But when we love God with all our heart, our soul, our strength, and mind, when we start to see how God sees us, when we start to see how God deems us worthy of sending His only Son to die on the cross for us, when we start to see that God thinks we are that worthy and that good, then we can start loving our neighbors as ourselves. That's why I think now is as good a time as any to deepen your relationship with Christ. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with Him throughout the week. Prioritize your time with Him. I know everybody wants to get out and hang out with people, but prioritize your time with God first, and then see what happens with your relationships with other people. You see, I don't think Jesus came into the world, endured the scorn and shame of the cross, and was resurrected from the dead to make us comfortable. I don't think He did it just to get us into heaven. The writer of Hebrews never mentions our comfort or even our entry into heaven, but he talks about obedience. He talks about being holy. And I think that is why Christ came. I think we need to redefine our definition of being a Christian. It's not about being comfortable. It's not about having answers to everything. It's not about knowing what life is going to be like and knowing how things are going to turn out. It's about trusting and following the One who gave up His only Son for us. And if our lives are too comfortable, if our lives are so easy, and if the world loves us, I think we really need to stop and take a look at ourselves and wonder why. When Christ came, the world hated Him. When Christ came, He suffered. He suffered to the point of dying on a cross like the worst of criminals. Yet if our lives do not reflect Christ's life at all, I think we need to stop and wonder why that is. I think we need to stop and take a look at ourselves and be honest with ourselves. I think we need to stop and ask, are we obeying? Are we obeying like Jesus did, to the point of suffering for our faith, for what we believe in? Or are we just going along because we want to get into heaven? Are we going along because we think this is a free ticket to an easy life? God calls us to obey. And obeying isn't always easy. Obedience isn't always easy. A lot of times it's hard. A lot of times it's painful. But I think the rewards to obedience far outweigh the cost. Jesus didn't have to sacrifice himself on the cross, but he did. Not because it was easy, not because it was comfortable, but because he knew that was the only way to restore our relationship with the Heavenly Father. And I think now that we have had our relationship with the Father restored, we need to ask ourselves, why am I still looking for easy? Why am I still looking for comfortable? Am I really obeying Jesus? Am I really obeying the Lord and Heavenly Father? Or am I just looking for comfortable and what's easy and nice? And I think we need to be honest with ourselves. Maybe that's one of the good parts of COVID. It's made us stop. It's made us examine what we thought was normal, what we thought was life. Because I don't think this world should be defining life to us. I think Christ should be defining what life is, what relationship with the Lord is. Jesus didn't sacrifice to make life easy and comfortable. He sacrificed so that we could be in relationship, and we in turn need to obey. Let's pray. Lord, we know it's not always easy to obey you. We know it's not always easy to follow you, because a lot of times we want to know what lies ahead. We want to know that things are going to be taken care of. So Lord, help us to trust. Help us to trust you. Help us to obey you. Help us to follow you. Help us to follow you as Christ, as the Son followed you, Father. Even when it hurts, even when it's hard, even when we can't make sense of what's going on around us, like right now, help us to follow you and obey you in everything. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.